Hey, sports fans, this is world champion handicapper Mike North at your Las Vegas Monday Night Report. Documented 8-2, weeks 1-2. That's 80% winners, and tonight I'm releasing Chicago, Washington. Huge information against the spread, and it's yours free on the recorded message line. Call 1-800-847-7889. That's 1-800-847-7889. Chicago, Washington, absolutely free, side and total. On the recorded message line, call now. 1-800-847-7889. Monday night under the lights, Mike North has you covered. Call 1-800-847-7889. That's 1-800-847-7889. Chicago, Washington. Boy, it's a monster. I love the game. I love to go 2-0 on Monday night. I love to be huge. Call now on the free recorded message line. 1-800-847-7889. That's 1-800-847-7889. Or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
What's up? I'm Dan Aguirre for the Bears Barroom. I'm told I'm the historian, which I think has made some people like pissed off, and they like, well, this fuck this guy. I know more than he does. If we really need to measure cocks, mine's bigger. No, I'm kidding. Look, man, I don't know. Like, I'm just a Bears fan. I'm just here trying not to be overly humble, like pretentious way. I'm just trying to say I'm not a bigger fan than anybody else. We're all fans. We're all Chicago Bears fans. Unfortunately, I've had a shit day. Now, I'm just giving you context. I'm not just rambling. Well, no, I am rambling. I just want you to know that this podcast is going to be shorter because I've had short notice. We were talking about last night on 100 Proof, Bears, Redskins. And Aldo said, well, don't even worry about it. It's just not that important. But I think it is. I think it is, because maybe you don't realize what's been going on with the Bears and Redskins in recent times, but I've had a shit day, as I stated. It's 10:45 right now. I've got to be at my other job in roughly an hour. I thought, well, I'm going to come in. I'm going to knock this shit out. As soon as I get here, we have a new girl that I went to college with that's in, and she was in the studio for fucking ever. And then I had to record, or what they call voice track, three separate radio shows. And they had me transcribing commercials, which you literally listen to it and type it verbatim. So you get the point. I've been just bitch boy tonight and stuck just doing mindless work. And then I see that my ex-wife is now in love with some fucking guy that looks like an extra from like Wrong Turn, like a West Virginia. Ironically, she's from the Virginia Beach area, but... And like an extra from Wrong Turn, some smelly, like fucking like bluegrass kind of fucking guy. So I was mad about that. I should share the audio that I sent her on it, but I think I'll just digress and we'll talk football. How about that? The Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins. Since I have a limited time, I was going to start back. I'll just touch on it briefly. On the Bears 85 podcast, I talked about how they kind of ruined our dynasty, didn't they? Even though you could say Green Bay did that with Charles Martin on Jim McMahon, but it was the Redskins. But let's rewind just a minute, because I have no time, so I can't go in depth. I wanted to start in 1984. That's when the Bears went to RFK Stadium and became the first team ever, yes, to beat the Washington Redskins at home in a playoff game at RFK Stadium. And that's the game Todd Bell just put little Joe Washington to the ground. I don't think Lindsey from the Broncos could have sustained that hit and got up, and Joe Washington had the single bar. You thought Lindsey's play got a flag on Leonard Floyd? Jesus Christ. Todd Bell would be kicked out of the league now. You should go out of your way to see that hit. And even furthermore, Joe Washington drops a pass that would be ruled incomplete today, and the Bears got the ball out of it. But without Jim McMahon, they go to RFK and they won. I think it was 23-19 off the top of my head, Shane Marsaw. Bears are going to lose the NFC title game to San Francisco. 85, interesting game, but I can't really, again, I'm just touching base quickly. They were down 10-0 in the first quarter, week number four, and then Willie Gault returned a touchdown, like 97, 98 yards.
99 yards for Willie Gault. They have just recently
and it just changed the complexion of the whole game. Then suddenly Joe Theismann's punting for injury, an injured punter in Jeff Hayes, and he punts it like 3 yards or minus 3 yards or something.
It went a yard. It went a yard. The word on Hayes is a bruised knee, which may have occurred on the Gulf kickoff return.
The Bears score again, and suddenly that 10-0 deficit was 14-10. And they kept piling on. Walter threw a touchdown to Jim McMahon. 10-0 down. It was suddenly like 35-10. Kind of like the Redskins Super Bowl victory over Denver in 22, the game we should have been at. But okay. So the Bears rolled there. And you say, okay, now we're 2-0 against Washington. What's your theory here, Dan? You're saying Washington always beats us. I am. We paid for those two wins, as you'll see. Like I talked about, 86, Jay Schrader, mediocre motherfucker, knocks us out of the playoffs. Doug Flutie, blah, blah, blah. Dynasty, the back-to-back Super Bowls, done, not happening. This is from the Super Bowl 21 Super Bowl highlight, ironically. And the Giants would be victorious. And then we'd kick their ass opening day, week 1, 87. The Bears are back. They're back. But they ran into the Redskins again in 87 and once again lost, despite being up 14-0, despite it being bear weather.
Barnhart punting against the wind out of his own end zone. Good kick. Chases Green back to his own 48-yard line, but he's got some room. Darryl Green. Could be all over. It is all over.
They would lose, and then all the changes would happen. Now, other games I wanted to talk about, but I'm going to call an audible and shift on. 88 was a big one. 88 was a big one because Wilbur had gone to Washington. Ditka just had a heart attack. They said, oh, it's just a minor. To me, a heart attack is fucking serious. A minor heart attack. Okay. But he's on the sidelines in the bear sweater just trying to chill and not yell.
Coach Mike Ditka, and that is his doctor, Dr. Jake Alexander, the cardiologist who treated him, and is saying, stay calm. Remember what the score is.
But Ditka was just there, and it was at RFK. The Bears kicked the shit out of Washington that day.
Four interceptions today by that Bears secondary.
Neil Anderson had a huge, beautiful run late in the game to the left and went like 50 yards.
Anderson, around the corner and down the sideline is Neil Anderson. And he's going to score for Chicago. 50 yards, Neil Anderson.
It was great. And again, in the interest of moving forward, because it's 10:50 by my time, Eastern here, 9:50 wherever you all are, although you're going to be listening to this later, if at all. 89. This was the only one in all the slate of the games I have no recollection over at all. None. Maybe I blocked it out because the Bears started the year 4-0. Tom Zach, yay! McMahon's in San Diego. We start 4-0. Hey, maybe this undrafted kid from Ohio State is going to lead us to the Super Bowl. That didn't happen. 4-0. Well, Dan Hampton got hurt. Now he just makes a living talking about how much Mitchell sucks on the radio. Or as Aldo put it, he was probably just drunk. Boy, but Ed and Glenn, they do not like Mitchell. And apparently Aldo and Shane don't either, but that was on 100 proof.
Hello, this is Aldo Gandia, and I interrupt this program to tell you that Dan Aguirre has patently misrepresented Shane Marisol and my opinions on Mitchell Trubisky. We now return you to our regularly scheduled program.
We can talk about that some other time. But the 89 game, the Bears lost. I have no memory of it. It's the only one out of all these I don't remember. Well, the exception of the 84 and 85. I wasn't watching yet. I came around in 87 as a Bear fan. So 89, they lose. But I'm not even going to go over that one. 91, I was going to cover this one in detail. But I think I'm going to start in long form, if you will, when the Bears are kind of bad, like after the Ditka era. But 91 is an interesting game, too. They come into the lakefront, and the Bears have a chance, man. They're 4-1. They had just lost to Buffalo 35-20 at Rich Stadium. We know Buffalo is exciting. They went to four straight Super Bowls. This would have been their second year on the road to their second Super Bowl. So it's not like they lost to some chumps. And Washington, the thing about the Redskins, the thing maybe why I hate them so much, other than the fact they always beat us, as you'll see, is that it just seems like they're not that good. I mean, I know Joe Gibbs, okay, but I know they beat Miami in the Super Bowl. Okay, okay, I'll say maybe they deserve to win that one, but that's a strike year. The one with Doug Williams, that should have been our Super Bowl. And furthermore, Denver should have beaten them. And that's not a shot at Doug Williams, the first African-American quarterback to win the game. Good. I'm a liberal, man. Come on. But regardless of anybody's race, I just didn't think that 87 Redskin team was that good. And then here we come to 91, the same thing. They win Super Bowl 26, and I say to you, how? They're 14-2, and immediately they're going to go away again. 90, they're second round. 92, they're done. They lose. Maybe they did make it the second round again. And then like 93, that team is over, just done. So again, I'm shitting on making it the second round, and the Bears haven't done that since 2010. But I'm just saying they weren't. Mark Rippon, come up with the Bears could win this game. They should have. But Jim Harbaugh got sacked relentlessly that day. I actually didn't see this game live because, and this is ironic, because my local CBS, because at the time the NFC was on CBS, that didn't change until 1998. Well, now they can kind of swap games anyway, but that used to be a strict code. The NFC was on CBS unless if it was an interconference game, the road team's network got to host the game. So, for example, let's say it was the Dolphins at Chicago because they played 91. Well, the Dolphins are an AFC team, so NBC would have carried the game. That's the way it used to work. But now they can swap and do weird shit. Like the Bears-Viking game in Week 4 is going to be on CBS. I don't know. Anyway, back to this day. It's Week 6. The Bears are 4-1, and we always got the Redskin game on cable, always. So it's a slam dunk we're going to get the Bear game. And my dad was in Vietnam and saw a lot of awful shit at a very young age. He was on the front lines at 20. He's one of these guys that graduated high school and thought, well, I'll just be patriotic. And plus, I just broke up with my girl and fuck it. Let's just join the war. It's better than getting drafted. So he goes in and, you know, like I said, just a litany of things happen, and he has a lot of problems, and needless to say, he was always at the VA hospital, and he would end up dying at 41. But this day, we were going to watch the game together. My dad was home, and for whatever reason, I don't remember what game it was, my CBS didn't show the Redskins that day, and they always carried the fucking Redskins, but they didn't this day, and it's the marquee matchup of the fucking day. And my dad had a fucking drug relapse he was so upset over, which is almost funny to say that now. He's used that as an example to go ahead and get high, but hell, maybe I should have gotten high after what happened with the Bears that day. Charles Mann is just pummeling Jim Harbaugh.
Intercepted by Govea.
I think he just threw that one up. You get to a point that you get so much pressure that you just can't do anything anymore. It looked like Harbaugh just threw that one up there.
Bears would lose 20-7 and against a team that would win the Super Bowl that I think the Bears could have beaten, and I'm going to say they should have beaten. I fuck the 91 Redskins. Okay. So my story is going to start as it's 10:55 now. The Bears don't play again until 1996. So I'm going to go post-Ditka now. We're going to say, again, with Ditka beats them in 84. Beats them in the playoffs. Beats them in 85 regular season. Loses in 86 in the playoffs. Loses 87 in the playoffs. Wins in 88 in the regular season. Loses in 89. Loses in 91. Actually, I'm forgetting 90. Oh, man. See, I'd love to talk about 92, but I need to hurry. 1990 was, at the time, the Bears, the Giants, and the 49ers were all like 9-1. And it was like, well, shit. One of these teams is going to have to play in the first round, and they could all be 14-2 or 15-1. The Bears were that good. This is the year the Giants are going to beat Buffalo in the Super Bowl. And then the fucking wheels fall off, man. The Bears are going to lose 3 out of the last 4 games, get the wild card. I have to play a wild card round. They beat the Saints. But you still think the Giants have to start this kid from West Virginia, Jeff Hostetler, who nobody knows. I'm from West Virginia, so I knew him. I heard about him. I didn't know he was going to beat us, though. It was Mike Tomczak's last game. But the Bears, Ditka had, that was going on a lot there at the end in 90 and 91, where they would wilt at the very end of the year after starting out so successfully early on. So anyway, Ditka loses 89 in a game I don't even remember. and 90, and then 91. 90 was at RFK, 89 was at RFK. 91 was at Soldier Field. Let's pick it up with Wani. 94, 95, no Redskins, Bears. 1996, it's week two, and I have to paint this picture. The Bears are fucking sky high.
In 1996, the Chicago Bears hoped to build on back-to-back winning seasons.
I mean, literally, they thought, even Dave Winstead has said this now. I heard this in 2019. He was talking about the Super Bowl window, and he thought, even now looking back, that 1996 was his window.
Instead, they were put to the test.
And then it closed when Eric Kramer broke his neck in Detroit in week four. So the Bears, 9-7, missed the playoffs because the fucking Falcons and Bobby Hebert coming back to beat the 49ers. 9-7, great, great offense in terms of just fun. We had never seen at that point that kind of scoring with the Bears, with Eric Kramer and Curtis Conway and Jeff Graham. So you think, well, they lost Graham, which was a big loss, because Michael Timpson was, but he wasn't Jeff Graham. He's okay. He's serviceable. He's okay. They drafted Bobby Engram, which I know Phil loves, but I thought Bobby Engram was okay. It's all right. Not great. But the Bears are going to host Dallas in week one, the defending, reigning Super Bowl 30 champions. And they come into Chicago, and the Bears beat their fucking ass. Pound them. We got Brian Cox from the Dolphins. He's going to be our new middle linebacker. He's going to be our new. See, we didn't have Urlacher yet, so it was like, you know, Buffon and Singletary and Butkus and Brian Cox. Brian Cox is going to be the next middle linebacker. And the Bears beat Dallas. They hurt Emmitt Smith on Monday Night Football, week one. So here we go. It was week two. It was Chicago at Washington. We're going to build on it. This is our year. It's going to be Eric Kramer versus Gus Frat. First half was ugly. Lots of people dropping passes, even veterans like Henry Ellard. Hitting him in the hands, boom, hitting the ground. Big play in this game. It's 3-3 at the half. That's the kind of game. It was a slow, like, oh, man, what's going to happen? A touchdown could beat us, and that could be the end. And it turned out to be that's exactly what happened. Michael Timpson would catch a pass, would get stripped, and fucking Daryl Green, the man who ran the punt return back in 87 in the playoffs, comes back again because the bastard played 75 years. He recovers the fumble. That would set up Terry Allen, 28 yards, touchdown to the house, 10-3 Redskins. We would not recover from this. This was Dave Winstead versus Norv Turner. They were coordinators in the Dallas Super Bowl 27 team. Jimmy Johnson's the coach, Dave's the coordinator, and Norv's the offensive coordinator. Now they're coaching against each other, and now Norv's brother, Ron Turner, is our offensive coordinator. So fun little sidebars there. We got one chance. We're down 10-3 from like the 5-yard line, maybe even closer. But Kramer leads them down all the way down the field, 80-plus yards. Could he tie it? It came down to 4th and 1. Not 4th and goal yet from maybe like the Washington 12. It's like 4th and 1. And reminiscent of the Packer game at Lambeau in 95, Kramer goes for it all instead of getting the yard, and it's incomplete. And the Redskins said, we survived. And they did.
The defensive line was fired up and squelched the Chicago attack, recording 4 sacks and never allowing the Bears to cross the goal line.
They won 10-3. You say, well, Dan, that's not that bad. Do the Redskins really always beat the Bears? 10-3 is not that big of a deal. Well, I'm glad you're still asking these questions. What could happen in 1997? Because, see, I'm telling you that the Redskins are a subtle bully. It's not the obvious Packers beating you every year because it's somebody you care about. The Redskins are a team you're just like, you think, well, they're not that good. It doesn't matter. They always win, and you'll see that. 1997. The Bears start out dreadful. This year, they were going to draft Tony Gonzalez in the first round. I don't want to play the Patrick Mahomes Kansas City game. What if Tony is not with the Chiefs and with the Bears? What if? I don't know. Although, now that his career is over, it's a fair, fun argument. But every quarter, did you see what Mahomes did? What if he was a Bear? Fuck Ryan Pace. Come on, man. Anyway. So we don't draft Tony Gonzalez because we trade our first-round pick to the Seattle Seahawks to get
Rick Meyer. The former Seahawk quarterback returns home where he once starred for the Irish down the road in South Bend.
Which sounds absolutely egregious, and I guess it was. Because Rick Meyer would go on to not even throw one touchdown. We gave up a first-round pick for a guy that didn't even throw one touchdown for the Bears. None. Zero. Look it up. But maybe at the time it wasn't that stupid of a trade if you view it under the lens of 1997. Eric Kramer broke his neck, and there was some question at the time, would he play again? He broke his neck in the Silverdome week 4. Well, Kramer's like, dude, I'm still under contract. I'm still working out. I'm going to be okay. But they can't. Kramer's probably 30 already. So you can't assume that that's the case. And mind you, Rick Meyer came in the same time as Drew Bledsoe, the guy that Jim Miller's better than. But according to him and him only. But Rick Meyer and Bledsoe was lighting it up early in his career. If you don't know about Drew Bledsoe with his early New England days, he was throwing 70 passes a game in 1994. Not on average, but there were numerous games where Parcells was just slinging the rock, man. And they made the playoffs, too. They weren't jokes. But anyway, the point is Rick Meyer was Rookie of the Year in 1993 at the Seahawks. So he showed some promise. He's Rookie of the Year. But much like RG3, and we're going to talk about him soon, he has 1 year, and then like RG3, he hung around forever. 1997, Kramer still comes out and wins the job because Meyer is so horrible in the preseason, but just terrible things are happening. He's off. The whole fucking team's off, and they're 0-15, not literally. They finally win a game in Miami in week 9. So they were, would that have been 0-7 when they finally won because of the bye, I think? Yeah. No. The bye was after the Dolphin game. So they were 0-8, and they beat Miami, the big comeback on Monday Night Football that we didn't get to see because, again, the game was on Sunday, but the Marlins were in the World Series with the Indians, so they'd move it to Monday, and everyone still got Green Bay for the most part, unless you lived in Miami or Chicago. Kramer leads an 18-point comeback. The Bears win. We're all happy. We think, okay, we're going to turn it around. We got a bye now. We're going to fucking run the table. Maybe not literally, but we got some hope, man, right? That was the catalyst. It's going to point us in the right direction. And then after the bye, we get the Washington Redskins. Interesting about that game is we cut Chris Zorich that week, who was from Notre Dame, local kid. Did well with the Bears, even though Yurko acts like he was just garbage. But Zorich was okay. I mean, I'm not trying to say I know more football than John Yurkovich, because I certainly don't. But I also have eyes and saw that Zorich did okay for the Bears. But we cut him, and then he signed with the Redskins. Not saying that's what happens. But he ends up there at Soldier Field suddenly as a Redskin. Pardon me. First drive of the game, the Redskins get the ball. They hadn't scored on offense in their first drive. They hadn't scored a touchdown in the first possession all season in 1997. Not once. But guess what happened when they came to Chicago? That scrub, Gus Frerotte, takes them the length of the field and throws a touchdown to James Jenkins, whom I don't even remember at this point. Then Terry Allen's running all over the Bears. He had 20 carries for 125 yards that day. So they're up like 14-0, and the fans haven't even sat down yet. I mean, it's early. Then the Bears, John Theory ruptured his ACL that day. So he's carted off. There was a big play late in the game. The Bears are down 31-0. An obvious pass interference. Chris Dishman, the old Oiler, is with Washington at this point, and it's just all over Conway. Come on, we're down 31. It's obvious. Even Al Riveron would have seen it. and they don't call it. And it's right in front of the fucking ref. And Conway, in frustration, like, we're 1-8. You know, throws his fucking helmet. That's the most indelible image of the game for me. Of course, he's tossed from the game. He's thrown out. We had signed a punt returner from the Saints that year named Tyrone Hughes. Tyrone Hughes had we kind of wanted him to be Devin Hester because he'd had like 2 good years of the Saints. But when he came to the Bears, he was dreadful. And one of our linemen, Todd Burgers, started a fight with him on the sidelines because he was fumbling kick returns. It just was dreadful. And, you know, Cutler pushed Jamarcus Webb and everyone acted like he pulled his fucking cock out and put it in his wife in Jamarcus Webb's wife's mouth and vilified Cutler for it. But everybody kind of like was like, yeah, Todd Burger. Fuck Tyrone Hughes. So they're fighting on the sidelines and Conway's getting ejected. 31-8 is the final. So if you're keeping track, 96, 1-0 optimism, they lose. 97, just horrible at this point. Wani's on his way out. They get blown out. 1999. Things are going okay. It's the first year of Dick Duron's administration. They've won in Minnesota. High-flying 15-1 Vikings the year before. The Bears go to the Metrodome and beat them. They were down 10-0 to Ditka and the Saints. That's right. Ditka was coaching the Saints. With 2 minutes to go, they were down 10-0. Had no offense the whole day. None. And then Shane Matthews leads 2 touchdown drives. I think Conway caught both of them. I just mailed this game to Aldo, but I haven't watched it in years. I'm mailing it tomorrow. I've got the games in a bag set to go. A pile of games for Aldo Gandia. But so the Bears have won some games. They come back to beat New Orleans at 14-10. The big game in Green Bay with Walter and or after his death with Brian Robinson. They won in Green Bay. They've got offense. Gary Croton, the first year by 2000, that wide receiver screen is getting, you know, stopped for 5-yard losses. But in 99, they didn't know really what was happening yet. Cade McNown's doing okay. They're still mixing in Shane Matthews and Cade. But the point is, there's some optimism. It looked like the 2000 Bears were projected to be a playoff team. A surprise, like, sleeper team that Chris Berman liked that year because they finished 6-10 in 99, but they missed, Bear fans can know about this, they missed 3 game-winning kicks, I think, with various kickers. Jaeger was one of them. Brian Goins lost a game against Seattle in week 2. Another one of those games, the Bears were up 13-0 the whole game, and Seattle scores 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, takes the lead. And then we drive down, and then fucking Brian Goins, who exactly, misses a field goal. Done. Bring Jaeger back. Chris Bonial missed a game-winning kick, too. It's just, the point is, the 99 team is competitive, and they're fun. They're throwing the ball around, man. And then my birthday, October 31st, 1999, my 19th birthday, it's Bears at Redskins. I remember this day vividly because, see, I talked about my dad earlier. My dad died in 93. He was 41 and I was 12. I hadn't turned 13 yet. But, you know, he died and my mom didn't really date or anything. My mom was like 38 when he died. So it's not like she's still relatively young. I'm 38 now. And I just got divorced. Am I supposed to die? And I'm not being a hypocrite with my wife on that. You should see this mountain man fucking guy that she's... Look, if she was a Zac Efron or a guy with a giant fucking cock, a big, big giant cock, I'd under... Maybe he does have a giant... I don't know. I think he's got money. He's got a fucking beard to his fucking...
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
I'm going to interrupt Dan again. We're all want to know more about giant cocks and the Washington Redskins, Chicago Bears rivalry. But I just want to let everybody know that after this Monday night's game between the Chicago Bears and Washington Redskins, Draft Dr. Phil and I will go on immediately on our Mixlr.com channel. That's Mixlr.com channel with our show called Last Call. We will get immediate reaction from both me, but more importantly, from Draft Dr. Phil, his expert analysis on the game, and maybe Shane Marsaw, the smartest man in the bar room, will join us, and we'll go over the entire game. We'll try to get into Matt Nagy's post-game press conference, and we will again be live after the Monday night game, Washington Redskins, Chicago Bears. So please join us then. And if you can't join us, the podcast will be up on Tuesday morning.
Anyway, I'm just saying, my mom hadn't dated for a couple years after my dad died. And my uncle is giving me this fucking shit on this day about how I supported my mom, because my mom started dating this gentleman named Paul in 1995, but she wasn't ready to remarry yet. They ultimately did in 2001. He's a great guy, my stepdad, and they're still together. I met him the day of the Bears-Bengals game in 95, in December of 95. He just showed up at the house and ringing the doorbell. He's like, is your mom here? You know, I'm like, fuck is this guy? But, you know, the Bears are losing. I don't care who he is, you know. Let's get back to the game. But back to the point on this, you know, my mom wasn't ready to get married yet. And my uncle started on this Catholicism, shoving this shit down my throat, and basically called my mom a whore. So I didn't talk to him from that day again until 2016, until my sister died in 2016, when I told him that it had happened. I went 17 years basically without talking to him because what he said on this day, the Bears Redskin day of 1999. And you talk about, again, you think there's optimism, there's hope. They're playing Brad Johnson, former Minnesota Viking, who would win a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers in 2002, but still, you don't think he's that imposing. And then as soon as the game fucking started, Steven Davis, who Michael Westbrook beat up in practice one day, beat the dog shit out of him, gets the handoff, goes 76 yards, touchdown. To make things worse, if they could be worse, I don't remember who was quarterbacking at this moment. It wasn't Cade. Hell, it could have been Jim Miller. It was either Miller or Matthews. I'm going to probably say Matthews. But he goes back to pass, and the big bust, Dan Wilkinson, who was like the number one overall pick in the draft. Fucking Dan Wilkinson. Everyone's seen the Keith Trailer play against the Jaguars, right, in 2001. Where Enberg is like, you know, he's rumbling and stumbling and making the fat man jokes about him going down the field. Well, Dan Wilkinson wasn't fat, but I mean, like Keith Trailer was, you know, the dude wasn't small either. He was, despite being a bust, he hung around forever. But Dan Wilkinson gets a deflected pass. Dan Wilkinson goes 88 yards. Are you kidding? Somebody tackled Dan Wilkinson. It'd be like Dan Aguirre running down the fucking field. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. Tackle that motherfucker, you know? God, when Dan Wilkinson's going down, I'm like, oh, my birthday is going to be fucking shit today. Just like my 14th birthday, I lost to the Packers. My 13th birthday, I lost to the Packers. Here we go again. Man, how bad did it get? The Redskins led 45-0. 45-0. The Bears would get some garbage points that were really garbage. I mean, look, I'm still hoping that the Bears will come back and win. It ends up being 45-22 or 48-22. But Washington's just like, come on, guys. Are you really still trying? So, again, 96, lose. We got optimism, we lose. 97, bad year. Bad game. 99, we're looking better. And then that shit happens. God, it's 11:15. I got to kind of move along here. We don't play again to 2001. Now, this is actually a game we're going to win. We had the white on white that day, which I love, especially in the Bears' 100th season. Can we get some white on white, please? We haven't done that since the Bears-Packer game, week one in 09, Cutler's first game. But 01, is that Steven Davis scoring again? God damn it. And speaking of Cincinnati Bengal busts like Dan Wilkinson, Kajana Carter's running the ball on us? Kajana Carter? And mind you, this is 01. This is the Bears 13-3 team. This is the Ted Washington team. They're good on defense. And the Redskins have a bum out there. They've got Tony Banks. Tony motherfucking Banks. And yet, they lead 13-10. But the game that would, the sequence that would turn this around for the Bears was a fake field goal. So Edinger goes out to kick the field goal, and Brad Maynard's the punter. He's the holder. Instead of putting the ball down, he grabs it and rolls to his right. And who's open? Brian Urlacher, a second-year fucking middle linebacker, number 54. Brian Urlacher's open, and he caught it. Touchdown, Bears. Wow, Urlacher with a touchdown at RFK State. Maybe this was FedEx Field by this point. I think it was. But still, Tony Banks is taking some shots from Roosevelt Colvin and Philip Daniels. And the Bears are going to be leading 20-13 after that Urlacher touchdown. Ultimately, they're going to do an intentional safety because they get penned deep in their own end zone. They get the intentional safety. They have to do the free kick after that. And explosive and dangerous, even though he was old at the time, Eric Metcalf was back there for the Redskins, but he fumbled. Mike Green recovered, and the Bears would hold on to win 20-15. So 2001, the Bears actually win. The last game we would win would be the next one, 2003. And then I'm going to get in the heart. You'll get in the heart of all these losses. But 2003 was Grossman, Rex Grossman's first touchdown pass as a Chicago Bear. See, he played the week before against Minnesota. We win when Charles Tillman steals the ball from Randy Moss in the end zone. But Rex didn't throw a touchdown that day. But to start this day, he did. And he did it against Champ Bailey. Everyone's fucking, oh, he's a Hall of Famer, Champ Bailey. Well, he couldn't beat Marty Booker, and he couldn't stop Rex Grossman. Rex deep, touchdown, Bears. Opening drive. And talking about guys that aren't worth a fuck. The Redskins on this particular day was led by the other bald fuck that I hate. I hate both of those Hasselbeck boys. This was Tim. At least Matt, the former Packer and Seahawk, was good. They were led by Tim Hasselbeck. Tim Hasselbeck? And he's throwing the ball on us? This was back and forth. Rex threw that 59-yard touchdown. Hasselbeck was throwing some... See, the Redskins were coached by Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach. And they were doing some weird shit that day, like throwing wide receiver, like doing reverses and throwing passes off of it. Rod Gardner hit former Lion. Wasn't Chad Morton a Lion? Pretty sure he was. He threw a touchdown to him off of, again, a wide receiver end-around pass, making that 10-10. Bruce Smith, the old Buffalo Bill, Virginia Tech. Buffalo Bill Hall of Famer and Virginia Tech Hokie, first player of the draft in 85, had a sack that day on Rex. It's a cool thing for Rex to say he was sacked by Bruce Smith at the end of his run there. But Tim Hasselbeck is throwing touchdowns to Lavernius Coles. I mean, he's killing our fucking defense. But ultimately, Anthony Thomas would break free. He had 141 that day. Tie the game at 24. It's 24-0. And then it would come down.
10 seconds to go.
To my man. Everybody loves Robbie. Boy, am I going to take a shit on Robbie in a minute. Paul Edinger comes out 45 yards. Fucking good. Like always, he never missed a game-winning field goal as a Bears kicker. And I don't think he did in Minnesota either.
Boy, it's tough with the game on the line to aim it outside the upright. But he did it. A perfect draw on it. And Edinger, field goal, good.
The Bears win 27-24. Late in that year, the Bears would move to 7-8 and go to Kansas City and lose the next week. Rex broke his finger, and they had to put Cordell in the rest of the way, but they got blown out. The Chiefs were really good that year with Priest Holmes and Trent Green, but they lost to Peyton Manning in the first playoff games. That's what the Chiefs always do. You know, and if Mahomes were a Bear and he led the team to the championship game and lost, he would get a bunch of shit. The Chiefs fans think, oh, well, we'll go and win it next year. The Bear fans would be all over him for losing that game. Not us, but, you know, the fucking media. That's what would happen if Mahomes was in Chicago. And if Watson was here and was hurt, we'd be questioning his manhood the way I do Trey Burton's. Which maybe I'm an asshole for that. I don't know. But next year. So the Bears have suddenly won two in a row. You think, oh, this Redskin team, they don't always beat us then. The next year, Rex would get hurt in the Metrodome. On a touchdown, no less. Blew his knee out. 11:20. I got maybe 20 minutes for this. So we have to go to Jonathan Quinn. He's kind of your Chase Daniel before he was Chase Daniel. He knows the offense. He came from Kansas City. We've got Terry Shea as our offensive coordinator. So he's going to be here because he knows the offense. But he couldn't fucking play. We find that out immediately. We lose to the Eagles in week 4. Rex gets hurt in week 3. And by the way, the Bears had just beaten Green Bay in week 2 on the road. Had hopes. Did you know Rex was undefeated in Green Bay? Yeah, the barber and I are on this one. Claudio. Jonathan Quinn against the Redskins. Week number five, of 2004. The Redskins that day are led by, you guessed it, Mark Brunell, coming back to haunt us, a former Green Bay Packer. Urlacher, interestingly, had been hurt. He got hurt as soon as training camp started. This was Lovey's first year. Hurt it, pulled his hamstring the first day of practice. He had missed a couple games. He was back in. But still, we've got Jonathan Quinn. And how bad was Quinn this day? 10 of 22, 65 yards. 10 of 22, 65 yards. By this point, every Bear fan in the fucking world wanted to kill Jonathan Quinn.
And at 4th and 15, the Bears still have a chance. Quinn's pet, Sean Taylor. Look at the size and the speed of this top draft pick. Whoop! And then whoop! And then whoop!
We knew he couldn't play, and the man needed to be beaten to death. And would have deserved it. On this awful play, this awful game, the Bears' only points would be through a Jerry
Halls of Montezuma.
The halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli.
From New Hampshire,
Jerry Azuma.
Jerry Azuma would be in, retired quickly after that. I think he got hurt. His last year at the Bears is 05. Jerry Azuma had a pick six, 70 yards. And the Bears, did we have a 10-7 lead in this game? I think we did. But like I said, it would be Rod Gardner again from Mark Brunell, a touchdown. No. The Redskins were up 10-0. And then that we scored and made that 10-7. Somehow we got a field goal from Edinger. I don't know how we drove to get that field goal. I don't remember. But it was 13-10 because this is, again, a shit game. By this time, Joe Gibbs is back in Washington, but it's 13-10, even with all that horrible fucking offense out of Jonathan Quinn. And he got one chance, and of course, he threw a pick six to the gentleman who passed away or was murdered a few years ago, Sean Taylor. So, that brutal loss. You can say, well, the Redskins don't always beat us. That was Jonathan Quinn. Okay. I'm getting to it. 2005, opening day. A very somber day because it's 9/11. And 9/11 was really fresh at this point. It's September 11th of 2005. So, I mean, America's still, I mean, we're in the heights, a height of the W. Bush administration with the, and I'm not being political, I'm not. I'm just saying what was happening, the color threats, and just this constant worry that we're going to be attacked again. If not from us, at least from the fear-mongering media telling us that we have to worry about it every day. Maybe we did. I'm not here to argue politics. I'm just trying to give you the tone of what was happening. Rex, again, broke his ankle, got hurt again against the Rams in St. Louis in the TWA Dome in the preseason and threw his helmet in disgust and cussed, which I liked. He'd come back and would end up leading us in the Falcon game late in that season and ultimately in the playoff game, and we'd lose to Carolina 29-21. But opening day, we're led by a guy I would grow to hate, not because of this day, because he had no balls and he loved to throw screen passes. And he drove me nuts, and I was so glad he was a part of the Cutler trade. And we agree politically. He's a big liberal. Kyle Lorton, fuck you. I hated Kyle Lorton. Desmond Clark told me once on Twitter, how could you hate Kyle Lorton? All he did was win. Really? Kyle Lorton won all the time? I beg to differ. He did win some games as a rookie, throwing four passes a game. And opening day, Kyle Lorton, again, he's a fourth-round pick from Purdue. in his first game. He's not supposed to be the starter. So I'm not hating on Kyle for being the GOAT this day. I mean, the negative GOAT, like the Bill Buckner GOAT. Orton would throw an interception and fumble as well. And both of those turnovers would be pivotal in the Redskins scoring points. But what was fun, if you will, and I don't think he got a flag called on him, the Redskins were led that day by their young quarterback who never amounted to anything, Patrick Ramsey. And Lance Briggs gave him a fucking lariat, a clothesline straight from hell. And they, I mean, an old school, like 1963, this was the NFL with Steve Sable kind of shit. And they didn't call the flag. I was watching with my brother-in-law at the time, who was a big Redskin fan, and he's like, okay, how the fuck is that not a flag? And I'm just laughing. I'm like, okay, you're right. If Orton got clotheslined, I'd be pissed off too. Thomas Jones running the rock for the Bears. Got us our points, I believe. Touchdown. We couldn't stop Clinton Portis, who was a very good running back, in my opinion. He had 120-some yards. This was Mohsen Muhammad's first game as a Bear. He had 6 catches, 59 yards. But the Bears had a listless effort on offense because, again, Orton, he did the best he could in that situation. We lost 9-7. That's another shit game. Most of these Bear Redskin games all suck, and they're all winnable, but we always find a way to lose. It's 11:26. I got to go. The next game, oh my God, the next game. 2007. The Bears have just gone to the Super Bowl and lost. Lost Super Bowl 41, but their high hopes that they're going to go back in 2007. I mean, for one, Briggs was supposed to be gone. He was supposed to have had a deal and was going to be out the door. And then suddenly that deal didn't manifest, and he gets a 6-year contract with the Bears. So we kept Briggs and Urlacher. We got the band still in-house, and they benched Rex after the Week 3 loss to Dallas. The Tony Romo, the one guy that likes Romo so much. Romo did light us up in that particular Sunday night game. And Greasy ends up playing, and Greasy would have like these great wins on the road in Philadelphia, no timeouts, 97 yards. Beat Green Bay on Sunday night up there, but then he would come home and then look pathetic and lose to the Lions. He lost both games to the Lions. He lost to the Vikings at home. I mean, Greasy was really underperforming. He had a couple of moments, but 2007, by this time, Rex is back in because Greasy got hurt in Oakland. Rex threw a touchdown to Berrien. They wanted to win the Raider game. He played really sound football in Seattle in that hostile environment, and we could have won. Cedric Benson's best day as a Bear. Speaking of a gentleman that passed away recently. And then here we go. Thursday night football against the Redskins. The Bears can't lose. If we lose, our chances to go to the playoffs are over because we're going to be 5-8. So we can't lose. We absolutely cannot lose. It's Thursday night football. This game, I would end up being printed in David Haw, who's blocked me on Twitter famously. He used me in his story in the Chicago Sun-Times. Was he at the Tribune or the Sun-Times? He was the beat writer back then. I think he was at the Tribune. And yeah, I was talking about Rex took a cheap shot from Cornelius Griffin. Griffin hit him low, real low, kind of like the one Carson Palmer took against the Steelers in the 05 playoffs. He hits it really low, hurts Rex. He has to be carted. And it was real dirty. And my brother-in-law that night said, what about that clothesline a few years ago? Because Ramsey was out after the clothesline. So, of course, I just was like, this isn't the same. Our whole season's up in the balance. It was the same, but it was dirty. What was the other guy's name? Antonio Garay, was that his name? He got carted that night too. Robbie Gold was missing field goals already. 48 yards, no fucking good. And guess what? The Redskins are led on this night after Jason Campbell, because we hurt Jason Campbell, future Bear in 2012. We hurt Jason Campbell. Guess who the backup is? Another future Bear, Todd Collins. The man who would not answer the call to glory in the NFC Championship for the Bears. He comes in for the Redskins on this night, though, and he's hasn't thrown a touchdown since 2002. But guess what he's doing against the famed Urlacher Cover 2 defense? Oh, he's throwing touchdowns. Oh, my goodness. Is that Todd Yoder? He's open, and it's a touchdown. And the motherfucking Todd Collins is throwing touchdowns on us, and Washington leads 14-0. Great play in the corner. Greasy to Bernard Berrien, whom I liked a lot with the Bears. He made a lot of big plays. I was sad to see him go to Minnesota. He made a play over the corners, like back, reached over, kept his feet in. Great touchdown. But that was basically the highlight of the night. A game we couldn't lose. It was commentated by Bryant Gumbel, I remember, which I thought seemed so out of place on NFL Network only. And we would lose 24-16. Greasy threw two picks. Both of them set up Washington points. And we would go to 5-8 and would be officially eliminated from postseason action. Thank you, Washington Redskins. 2010, do you remember this one? Donovan McNabb, it's 11:30. I'm trying to speed up. Donovan McNabb comes back to the lakefront. He grew up a Bears fan, Mount Carmel High School. And he beat us in the 0-1 playoffs. Sodomized us to fucking death, running the ball. And we've got our big acquisition, Jay Cutler, in his second year. I was a Cutler guy. This was not Cutler's best day. This was not Lovey's best day. This game made me incredibly fucking angry. Not because of what you're going to think. Everyone remembers from this day, Jay Cutler throwing four interceptions, all of which came late in the game, and I think from maybe the second half, or at the very least the second quarter they started. All four interceptions went to D'Angelo Hall.
Deep ball. D'Angelo Hall with his fourth interception of the game.
But that's not even the part, the worst part. The Bears, they had scored on a pick six from DJ Moore, who recently talked about how bad a guy Robbie Gould was and how he ran his fucking mouth all the time, which will come into context in a minute. But DJ Moore had like a 54-yard pick six. We are up, I think, 14-10, and we're at midfield, and Cutler throws a bomb deep downfield to Earl Bennett, and Earl gets tackled at the half-yard line. Now, he's clearly down, and Lovey's going to challenge because that's what Lovey fucking does, challenges when he's not supposed to. It gets overturned. Now, this is the serious point. I mean, it's not overturned. The challenge is the play's upheld. So it's first and goal, though, from the half-yard line. Cutler is going to dive. You know how you reach the ball over the goal line? That's all you have to do. Your body doesn't have to be in. It was going to be a quarterback sneak. Jay reaches the ball over, which crosses the plane. The Redskins bat the ball out of his hand and recover. Of course, the referees blow the fucking call. Don't call it a touchdown. The replays, Fox or Tom Brenneman is doing the game that day. Says, well, that's a touchdown. Well, guess who didn't use a challenge? And he had one left. Lovey doesn't fucking challenge him when everyone in the country knows that this one is a place you're supposed to fucking challenge.
If you challenge the one with Earl Bennett as to whether or not he scored, I think it was worthwhile for Lovey then to challenge that play.
It would have been a touchdown. Cutler got the ball over the game. The Bears would have won this game. But instead, you got Cutler's four interceptions and a fucking fumble. This one is completely on Lovey. DJ Moore would have another pick six that would be negated by a penalty. The Bears had five straight possessions in this game with a turnover. We lose 17-14. And again, this one was all on, I guess you could say, on Cutler for throwing the picks. But to me, when the replay showed that Jay scored so vividly and indisputably, that's on Lovey Smith for fucking that up. So again, 2010 there, we're going to the NFC Championship game, and we're still losing to the goddamn Redskins. 2013, we're going to play them again. This is going to be Mark Trestman. This is going to be Mark Trestman against, who's the coach in 13 for the Redskins? Think. Was it Marty? Not Marty Schottenheimer. Mike Shanahan, I think. Yeah, it's Mike Shanahan, who I like a lot. But this was going to be a day. Oh, God. This day would ultimately show how tough Jay is, in my opinion. First off, he throws a pass to Alshon Jeffrey, hits him in the hands. It's batted in the air because he can't fucking catch. And Brian Arakpo would take it back, pick six. They would score 14 points in 17 seconds. Jay would get hit in the balls and in the groin and would basically tear two spots of his fucking ball sack. And the reason I say it makes him tough, when he was doing Waddle and Sylvie back then, they were talking about he was on some kind of harp machine that basically they would inject his fucking sore balls and with a needle, take blood from his balls, and then spend that blood to I don't understand anatomically what was happening, but they would make the plasma suddenly more pliable for the body to heal, and then re-inject it into his balls. So they would take blood from his nuts. You think Trey Burton would do this? Fuck no. I wouldn't do this. Shots in the groin. They take blood from his balls and then re-inject it into his fucking balls. That's how bad he wanted to be back in the game. And he came back in the Cleveland game and won in 2013 in week 15, which is the game that infamously our GM that Urlacher hated so much, Phil Emery, would decide to give Jay an extension because he said he had stones. Sore stones, but stones nonetheless. Now, against Washington that day, after Jay gets hurt, Josh McCown comes in, and we suddenly have a shootout between RG3 and Josh McCown. Matt Forte's doing jump. He's doing his jump move that he always did, but he's cutting back. He's running. He's scoring. Three touchdowns for Matt Forte? Oh, God. There was a play in this game. Well, RG3 went back to pass, extended the play, and threw it. I don't remember who the Redskin was in the end zone. What difference does it make? The dude was surrounded by two Bears, one being Charles Tillman, who misses at least deflecting the ball by a pubic hair, and the other one being Chris Conte. And guess what? What do you think fucking happened with Chris Conte? He fell down. He fucking fell on his face. Touchdown, Redskins. This game would be a fun shootout, and actually we had the lead 41-38 when Josh McCown hit Marty Bennett for the score, but of course...
Handoff to Helu, and he's in! Roy Helu Jr. with his third touchdown today! Redskins back on top!
Our defense would give up the inevitable points, and we would lose 45-41. 45-41, another loss to the Washington Redskins. That shifts as it's 11:37, and I really got to go in a minute. 2015, and I wish I could focus on this more. 2015, Robbie Gould. He had just lost the week before against San Francisco, the Blaine Gabbert game. Gabbert had a big fucking scramble for 50 yards and a touchdown. And at the end, he would throw a touchdown to Torrey Smith that recently retired. And Adam Schefter keeps tweeting about it for some fucking reason. But Gold would miss a kick earlier in the game, too. Oh, didn't Gold blow a game in the Metrodome? I know it was second down in 2013 and lost a game for Trestman against Minnesota. Yes. He's missed one against San Francisco this day. Despite poor play, horrible play by the defense. Shay McClellan whiffing. Jordan Reed was killing the Bears. Zach Miller would catch a touchdown from Jay. Kyle Fuller would pick off a pass. It was 21-all. And again, Robbie Gould missed a kick the week before to lose the San Francisco game. Here he comes again. He's already missed one today against those fucking Redskins. He missed two to the left against San Francisco. This one to the right, and guess what?
Patrick O'Donnell will place it down. And Gold's kick from 50 is no good. Wide to the right.
And if the Bears had a chance of making the playoffs, because they weren't that far off in 2015, Fox's first year, they were 6-10, could have won a couple of games, but Robbie made sure they didn't. They could at least been in the discussion for a wild card. So we lose to Washington again because of Robbie. And in 2016, Robbie's missing extra points against Cleveland in the last preseason game. And this is a guy who was comparing himself to Michael Jordan, had a big contract, and is not a well-liked guy. Let's be honest. I can understand why Ryan Pace said, fuck this guy. getting him out of here. I know everyone now says, no, we love Robbie. We love him. We love him. He should never have been cut. Man, dude was sucking for a number of years. Go back and look at the fucking stats if you don't believe me. All right, so they lose there. And again, I got to wrap this up. So I've got one more game to discuss. 2016, horrible game. Christmas Eve. Both of these games were played by Kirk Cousins. And at the time, everyone's saying, oh, he's got a connection to Illinois. Maybe the Bears should go after him. And I was like, no, I hated Kirk Cousins. And I'm not saying that now because of what's going on in Minnesota. Did you see he said today, if I don't play better, I'm not going to be here very long. That's honesty, at least. Christmas Eve 2016, 1 year to the date that my wife would walk out on me and then ultimately get with a dude that's got a gray beard to his fucking man nipples. Chris Thompson. Chris fucking Thompson was scoring everywhere. But the big play of this game that drove me crazy, the Bears are driving. Matt Barkley, who I couldn't think of his name, I wanted to prove for some reason the other day. I was tired, I guess. My excuse. Hit Daniel Brown with the play, and he was down like with the ball, and he's down like seven times. It's obvious. But, of course, they're going to call it a fumble, but Fox is actually going to challenge it. Or no, it was one of those where all turnovers are reviewed because he wouldn't have gotten it right. And it's reversed. We get the ball back, and then Connor Barth misses the field goal. Of course he does. Of fucking course he does. Oh, my God. Matt Barkley threw five interceptions in this game. He did throw a touchdown to Cam Meredith. DeSean Jackson was eating up Tracy Porter. This was on Christmas Eve again. It was 41-21. Now, I'm sorry that I've had to rush this. I hope someone's been enjoying this. Again, my point is they are subtle bullies. I'm telling you, the Redskins, think about this again as I go. 86 knocks us out of the playoffs. All right? 87 knocks us out of the playoffs. 89 beats us in a game I don't remember. They beat us in a game I don't remember. 1990, they beat us in a game we had a lead in late and needed and lost. 91, they beat us. 20-7 at Soldier Field. 2004, Jonathan Quinn, they beat us at Soldier Field. 2007, they eliminated us from the playoffs in the greasy Rex Got Hurt game on Thursday Night Football. Then Donovan McNabb in 2010 beats us because of Lovey's bullshit coaching. Then in 2013, we're in a shootout with them, RG3, Josh McCown, after Jay gets the fucking ball shot. They beat us, 45-41. The defense can't tackle anybody. Then they beat us in 2015 with Kirk Cousins because of Robbie. Then in 2016, they beat us with Cousins again because their quarterback can't fucking five picks. Look at all those losses. And within that span, the Bears only won in 01 and 03. So hopefully you're seeing what I'm saying. The Bears lose once more. The Bears won in 88, but they lost 89, 90, 91, 96, 97, 99. Then the Bears win in 01 and 03, but then the Bears lose in 04, 07, 10, 13, 16. It's time to beat these guys. For a fucking generation now, we've been getting our asses handed to us. And they've had some scrubs playing for them. Tim Hasselbeck, Patrick Ramsey, Mark Brunell at the very end of his career. Tim Hasselbeck? They beat us in the playoffs with Jay Schrader? Mark Rippon? Now, he was a Super Bowl 26 MVP, but he wasn't that good. Jason Campbell, we know him from the Bears, wasn't that good. Man, we got to beat these guys. Our season's on the fucking line. And everyone's on Mitch's back. We have to win Monday night. I got to go to work. Bears Barroom.
Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Kemper, Mike North, and your Las Vegas Monday Night Report, documented 8 and 2 weeks 1 and 2. That's 80% winners. And tonight, I'm releasing Chicago, Washington. Huge information against the spread, and it's yours free on the recorded message line. Call 1-800-244-0710, 800-244-0710. Chicago, Washington, absolutely free. And the total, the side, the whole ball of wax on the recorded message line. Call now, 1-800-244-0710. Monday night, under the lights, me, Mike North, has you covered. 1-800-244-0710. Chicago, Washington's a monster. Rawr! I love the game. I love it all. It's huge. Let's go 2-0 Monday night. Call now on the free recorded message line, 1-800-244-0710, or go to VegasScoresAndOdds.com.